Is there anything I could always say, it doesn't depend on how your mom raised you. This is who you are. I came very, very close to understanding Jung's work of the four personalities, but that was still behavior-based. But I wanted something deeper. I wanted to know why someone did the behaviors they did, not just what they did. Once I got that core motive that drove people, everything changed for me. It was a remarkable moment in my life. That started me on the color code crusade of trying to help people identify what they came with, who they really innately were born to be.
Welcome to Backseat Driver, the podcast hosted by two practicing psychotherapists, where we boil down years of experience with clients young and old to teach you how to do the what to do to improve your life and relationships.
I'm Mark Yamada, clinical psychologist in Seattle.
And I'm Nikki Bennett, licensed clinical social worker in Salt Lake City. Dr. Taylor Hartman, one of my favorite people. Taylor has written numerous books and has appeared on many television programs, including The Today Show and The View with Barbara Walters. He's also been a guest on hundreds of radio shows and local TV spotlight.
I was first introduced to his work about 20 years ago. I think my brother was in a college class and they had taken the color code test. And he came home and said, I want everybody in the family to take this and I know what color all of you are. You're a yellow, you're a blue, you're a red, We took it and we all laughed about it and it was something really fun to connect over, but I always just sort of thought of it as fun. Mm-hmm. And as we've started to work together, gosh, I've learned what a powerful tool it is.
That's wonderful.
In my personal and professional life. And Taylor, what really sold me on this was when we were at the retreat last fall. Mm-hmm. You said when two yellows are married to each other, one has to grow up and be the parent and they resent their partner for it. And that was,
yep.
After 20 years of knowing my husband, I suddenly realized in the blink of an eye that he is yellow. And I think the mask he wore for so many years were red and white. And that just caused so many problems in our marriage. So can you tell our listeners about the color code, how you came up with it, what the background is?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in Ben's defense, that comes from, that's not uncommon with traumatized childhood. Mm-hmm. It's very, very common that when someone is traumatized in childhood, they take on survival colors, not necessarily their core. And so you have to dig deeper mm-hmm. to find them. Mm-hmm. So when I first was practicing, I was kind of stunned that there was really nothing in my field that was an absolute. Everything depended on something else. I had a lot of people that I saw, a very busy clientele, many men, and the men especially were saying, I want answers. I don't want to just talk about it. I want answers. And so I went back and actually did a second PhD in research, trying to find, is there anything I could always hold true for anybody, anywhere, regardless of age or race or background or geographical upbringing? Is there anything I could always say, it doesn't depend on how your mom raised you. This is who you are. Mm-hmm. And what I came very, very close to was understanding Jung's work of the four personalities, but that was still behavior-based, as is everything else in personality in my field. Myers-Briggs, DISC, all of them are behavior-based. So that means that if you show these behaviors, that describes who you are. But I wanted something deeper. I wanted to know why someone did the behaviors they did, not just what they did. And so I had an amazing experience where I really had just a sheer inspiration where I actually got the four personality motives behind the colors, which was power for red, intimacy for blue, peace for white, and fun for yellow. Once I got that core motive that drove people, everything changed for me. It was a remarkable moment in my life. That started me on the color code crusade of trying to help people identify who they were born with at birth, what they came with, who they really innately were born to be. So for just a little understanding, red personalities are driven by power, which means they just want to get from A to B. They get things done. They're typically very strong-willed and they crave respect. They are very disciplined. They make things happen. They love to move forward. They don't, if they make a mistake, they just move on. So that was a bad choice. Move on. They don't get stuck there. I've always said to people that if a red is difficult, you better tell them now, because if you tell them 10 years from now, they'll go, well, that's a little late. Sorry, too late. Move on. years ago. And they're very strong-willed, and they can be bossy and demanding. It's so cute when you see like this little red girl, like at, you know, 4 years old, directing traffic in her family, because she just feels this need to direct people, like what they need to do. And then the blue personality rivals the red. In my consulting years, I probably saw 85% of my consulting conflict was between reds and blues.
Wow.
And the reason is because blues have the moral high ground. They're very emotion-based, whereas reds are logic-based. So what happens is you get a conflict that goes on between them. The red saying, I know the right way to do this and I want to be efficient. And the blue saying, no, I want it to be effective and it's only going to be done right if I am involved. So they got it's a very interesting kind of dance they have to do. Blues are much more caring, genuine, sincere, committed to the relationship. They can be very hard on themselves, very critical of others, self-righteous. They struggle a lot with self-love. Those are the heavyweights. Then the lightweights, I only say this because they're the kind, heavyweights spend their life trying to control everybody else. And the lightweights spend their life refusing to be controlled. That's the only reason I say it that way. The white personality is driven by peace. They just want to get along. The number one thing for a white is kindness. They seek kindness across the board. They are very, very gentle and agreeable. They're very clear-minded. They watch. They don't talk so much. They watch. Negative side, they can be very silently stubborn. They will not tell you they're not going to do it, but they won't do it. Like trying to motivate a white personality that's not choosing to go to school is very difficult. Or you send them to a room, they'll spend a month there. They'd be happy to be alone in a room. They're hard to motivate. They're very tough. And then the yellow personality is very fun-based. They thrive in the moment. You remember that book that came out years ago, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff? Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, well, who's going to buy that book? who sweats that small stuff?
Because you're a yellow.
I'm so yellow. And it's like this bestseller. I guess there's lots of blues out there. So the yellows are very playful and they love sense of humor. They love to engage people. They're very positive, upbeat. Negative side, they're irresponsible. They don't show up when they say they will. They don't follow through what they mean to. And they're disorganized. So that's kind of a gist of the four personalities. And of course, there's so much more to it. But that'll give you some flavor to work from.
So Mark Taylor knows what color I am. I'm curious after hearing that, do you have a guess as to what color I am?
I think you're red.
No.
No?
So not red.
Where's the parent you became?
Yeah, no.
You started as a yellow and turned into red.
Yes, I am very yellow. Very strong secondary blue, which is where like my perfectionism and kind of the struggles with self-esteem come from. I would say maybe I wear a red mask sometimes. I don't know. But Taylor, you say that blues are the most controlling, right?
By far. That's a good point. Yes. They're control from a moral perspective, where reds are more like, if it makes sense, they want to control what affects them. But they're not so headstrong about it. They're more pragmatic. Blues are like, nope, it's the right thing and the right thing only. So,
yes. And I've argued with Taylor now for a year and a half over my core motive because I have become so charactered in blue. But Taylor, what is it you always tell me when I say, are you sure I'm not more blue?
I don't know. What do I say to you?
You always say your blue is sick. Your blue sides are all bad.
No, it's so true. Because you're so worried. Like you get so worried and stuff like that. I'm like, give that away, girl. That's not your yellow.
Yep. And the more I lean into that yellow, the more I find I come alive. But I have loved this tool in my practice. And I've gotten to the point now where I can pretty much peg what color someone is. Mark, what did you take the profile or do you have a sense for what color you might be?
Yeah, I think I did take the profile and I come out as blue.
Mm-hmm.
But I could totally when I see the criteria for all of them, it's sometimes hard when you just look at all of the characteristics because I have some in everyone, in every color. Yeah. And Taylor, maybe that's a question I have for you is, what do you notice with people? They have a primary color and then when they're under duress, is that a quality that shows up across all life domains and experiences? Or do you see that some people shift to one color in certain situations, such as, you know, when they're under less stress, they're showing more of one, and when they're under more stress, they go into another? Can you comment about that?
Yeah, I love that question, Mark. First of all, what I've discovered is typically people have a core motive, and then they have a secondary that's prominent, but not as strong as their core motive. Under duress, they go to their core, their secondary color, not their core. So my core motive is yellow, and then I've had a secondary be red. So under stress, I go red, not yellow. And so it's
actually helpful.
That surviving kind of tool you use is your secondary color. And the only color, by the way, I'm glad you raised that also, Mark, the only color that can be all four equally, like when they take the profile, is white. And they're still white core, but they have all four personality traits in them. The other thing I use with people is if they really can't find their core, I say take the character profile, and the one that has your greatest number of weaknesses is typically your core. You tend to be born with your weaknesses more in that core.
Okay, yeah, that's another way of looking at that. You know, I'm also thinking, you know, as we go through this, and perhaps some of our listeners, as you take the profile, and, you know, I encourage you to do that. I think it'll be very insightful for you, that take it, and then, you know, as you go about life, Taylor, do you think it's helpful for people to come back to it and then look at these again, because it may then refine as they gain greater insight into themselves?
Very much so, Mark. In fact, it's so interesting. What I find is that when you give someone a blank sense of these four options, right, it really is almost a little overwhelming. And here I'm the author of this. Like, I came up with it and I thought I was red. My wife goes, red? Are you kidding me? You're yellow. I said, no, I'm red. I'm responsible. I have a big clientele. I always show up. She goes, Taylor, where is your office? I said, it's on the beach. She goes, what do you have a client? I said, I go to the beach. I have 45 minutes. It's dominant that my mom was so red, I embraced that mindset. I had to be a red to be successful. When in fact, I'm like literally all yellow except for one red, one white. So clearly I was misreading myself.
Okay, that's interesting. Like, do you not have blue? Because it seems like a lot of therapists would have blue because of the empathy and the emotional, you know?
It's such a great point. I am very unique as a therapist that I have no blue, zero blue.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I do care. It's funny, I care deeply about my clients when I'm with them, but instead of raising my rates, I just cut my time down. So I went that route instead of the other route. And I really do, I'm very engaging in the moment I'm with them. But when I'm done with the session, it's very capable of moving on. Hmm. So.
You know, I wonder if sometimes what happens is, you know, when a person first looks at these qualities, if they're not really very self-aware, you tend to answer the questions or look at the qualities and answer them the way that you want to see yourself being. Or the other version, Taylor, you're getting at it with the looking at the potential limitations. Okay, let me answer this and select and circle these in the way that I don't want to be seen, that I don't think I want to be. And, you know, then you can end up with a color combination of how you think you want to present. Kind of like Nikki, the masks that we were talking about a while back, that let me tell the colors that I think I'm supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right, Mark. A lot of people do that. And then, of course, what I talk about is congruence. So I'm saying you claim that you're this, but here's what you do and how you act. You claim that you're this, but this is where your heart, mind goes when you explain to me what you're feeling. It's not congruent. So you must be working against who you really are. So bringing them to a truth is very, very difficult for some people with low self-awareness. It really is.
And, you know, when I came back from that retreat, I said to my husband, he said, how was it? And I said, it was fantastic. I can't wait to share. And by the way, you're a yellow. He looked at me like I was on crack. He was like,
what?
Yeah, no, I'm not a yellow.
What planet are you on?
Exactly. So we went to dinner that night and I started to talk to him, and about halfway through our date, he just started to cry. And I said, what's going on for you? And he said, I just am feeling like so confused. And if I really am yellow, perhaps I betrayed myself my whole life. And so I said, well, why don't you send the color code to all of your siblings and have them take it?
Yep.
And so the first one came back yellow, and the second one yellow, and the third one yellow, and the fourth one yellow. And then he cried a little more, because I think growing up, you know, he is so fun and he's so driven by adventure and creativity. And I always thought he was a workaholic. And the truth is, he does work very hard, but he's also so distractible that while he's working, he's doing 10,000 other things, which is why he's working 70 hours a week. But, you know, since we have come to that truth that yellows weren't revered in his house, it was, you had to be a red in order to have value, but you also had to be a white and make peace to survive.
Right. 100%.
So, you know, for 20 years, I've said to my husband, hey, you left your shoes on the stairs and I tripped coming in. Could you please not leave your shoes there? Oh, no problem. 10 minutes later, I come out and there's the shoes.
Yeah.
And I would just get irate and think, oh, you're so passive aggressive. You know, you're so red, no one's going to control you. And you're so white, you're just silently stubborn. And now I recognize he's just yellow and he forgot. He really did forget.
Right. And then your sick blue is saying, and you're personalizing it. And he's doing it.
Yes.
I know you're thinking bad things about me.
Yes. Right?
Well, I was thinking bad things about him because I'm, you know, as my blue can be very self-righteous and judgmental.
Yes. But I think it's so important to have the color code to teach you to forgive. Because when you really do start to see the people operate, like when a red is very blunt and direct, like, it's not like they mean to hurt you. They just speak that way. That's where they come from. You know, you're forgiving of that with certain cultures that are very blunt and direct, like the Scandinavian people. So why can we not be that way about individuals? That they have that mind, that's how they come with things. They're the yellows that are forgetful. They're not trying to do it to hurt you, right?
Yes.
I think it will help us forgive people and understanding that, like blues, for example, they just feel things so deeply that rather than saying, we'll just get over it, you know, or like my favorite line, lighten up, which they want to like scream. They just need more time. We can't be so demanding that everybody be like us. So that's where it's really helpful that way too.
It's so cool too. I think when you have this common language to use, like one of my closest friends is a blazing red. You know, this friend.
Yes. Yes.
And, I love- I'm a flaming yellow, but we can use that language with each other. Like, I remember going through a hard time and you told me, you know, don't tell anybody about this because you need to sit in your stuff and figure it out. And then at the end you said, okay, well, who are you going to talk to? And I said, well, I'm not talking to her because I know what she'll say and I know she'll judge me and tell me what to do. And you said, and there's your homework.
Yes. And you did it.
I did. And you know what she said was, well, of course that's what I do. I'm a red. Tell me what you need and I'll do it. I said, I just need you to just say, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer, but I love you. And she said, I'm sorry, and I don't know the answer, and I do love you.
Ta-da.
Yeah, and then we had another conversation where she said, you know, I feel like you don't value my time because you're always flaking out on me. And I said, I'm sorry, you're right, I'm so yellow. And I'll work really hard not to commit. And honestly, Taylor, you can call me out on this, but here's my latest strategy for dealing with my yellow flaky nature. As a yellow, I want to do everything. I genuinely do. I want to go to lunch with this person and dinner with that person and work 20 hours a week. And I want to do it all and I can't. And so I do end up letting the ball drop. And so my husband and I decided when COVID hit, okay, what's our intention? And we said, freedom. We want the freedom to, you know, financial freedom, meaning like we have enough money in savings, but we're also not overworking ourselves, emotional freedom, social freedom. And so we decided we will commit to one thing a month that we do for fun, like one social activity a month. And the rest is going to be last minute. Like, hey, I can't let you know on Monday, but I'll let you know on Friday. Yeah. Is that terrible?
Yeah, it's terrible for blues. But the reality is what you're saying is it frees us to be who we are. So if people can play with that paradigm, you're great, right? If they can't, then I guess they lose you. Mm-hmm. You know, freedom is like literally right under fun for yellows. It literally is that important for yellows, that freedom to kind of move and go as they want. I don't think it's wrong at all for you to enjoy your life that way. As long as you're not disrespectful, you're saying, you know, we just really want to have control over our freedom. So, but you have to give them like a couple days notice, I would think, right?
Yeah.
You gotta let them know about it. But I think it's great that you guys have decided that works for you. I really do like that.
So tell us more about how relationships play into each other in marriages and in parenting, because my whole family, you've worked with all of us. Like, I'm a yellow married to a yellow. Yeah. I've got two yellow reds and I have two blues. Tell us more about relationships between parent, child.
Well, let's start with something that I know. I love this because it offends people all the time. And I love it. because it's just one of those truths that you gotta, mental health requires work. Like, people have got to wake up and realize that just like getting physically healthy, you have to pay some dues. So do you with mental health, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite lines to people is, you always get what you deserve when you marry. And people are like, are you kidding me? That cannot be. Well, actually, great marriages, they say, I think I married over my head, which they didn't. They got what they deserved. Mm-hmm. And bad marriages always swear that can't be true. Like, I'm better than this person.
So true. You said that to me and I was like, what?
How can this be? And the beauty of it is, it just shows you ownership. Like, you got to own that whatever you were about is what caused you to make the choice you did when you married. I'm a great example of that. I was engaged 5 times. I thought that was when you decided if you liked the person, was you got engaged to figure out if that was what you wanted. So it's not a great move, but the yellow, I did that. And so I didn't marry any of them because I needed someone stronger than who they were. They were terrific women, like terrific. I love them all to this day. They're terrific. I'm sure their mothers don't love me as much, but they were terrific.
And the runaway groom. You were the runaway groom.
That's exactly what I was, horrible. But my wife is stronger than them. And she's this wonderfully solid blue personality that gets things done and directs traffic. So I don't have to be just the one in charge, which I did not want to be. And that was all subconscious. I didn't know this at all. But that filtered into why we married each other. I mean, I don't think people realize that. Kind of a bad example, but I use the example of, if a guy's like a big bully, he's kind of a jerk, and he's got this very sweet, kind wife. They're like, why is she with him? I always say, well, probably because she doesn't have the courage to stand up for herself, take care of business. So she married someone that would do that. He also, by the way, came with being a bully. Right? So they give her an out, but I don't. I'm like, no, you picked that because you didn't feel capable of standing on your own 2 feet. So everybody gets what they deserve. And then you continue to deserve what you allow. So that's,
yes.
So if you stay in a marriage and you're allowing it, then you have to own that you're deserving what you're allowing, that kind of mindset.
That hit me huge one session when I went in and I gave you a laundry list of all the things Ben had done. And I was so ready for you to put your arm around me. And and you looked at me and you said, why would you ever allow someone to treat you that way?
Yeah.
That was huge.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Nikki? I look at you very differently than you saw yourself. I look at you as strong. Yeah. And you felt like weak. And I'm like, well, that's not how I saw you at all. Like, you're very capable of engaging this differently than you were. But you saw yourself as, no, I'm a victim, right?
Totally.
So it's funny how we go into the victim thing. But let me just talk about the marriages for a minute. So red and white and blue and yellow are natural blends. Only because of red and white have a natural logic connection. And blues and yellows have a natural emotional connection. Because they are more emotional and the reds and whites are more logical. And also leader, follower kind of thing, detail, organized and disorganized, that kind of mindset. Red and blue, by the way, is why therapists will always have work. They are a very common blend in marriage and they really struggle. I mean, there are some great red-blue marriages, but every one of them will tell you we've worked at it. Because typically it's hard for them to understand, and they both want to be right. They both want to control. They both think they're right. So it's kind of a difficult dynamic, but they both show up for everything. They're very committed. Follow through is terrific. I just think they have to work harder at it than other colors. Red, yellow, my gosh, that's kind of a crazy blend because they work great if the yellow is responsible and the red is not abrasive.
So that's important to mention, that yellows can become responsible.
Yes. Yeah, of course. We think yellow or not. They're always forever kids, right? I have one guy, I love this. This is a friend of mine. He's red. He goes, don't you think yellows are just immature reds? I said, oh my gosh, that is a height of arrogance. No, we're not just immature reds. But it is true, they can become responsible just like reds can become kind. So you can, and that goes into the character code, which is a whole different ballgame, but you can embrace the gifts of other colors, but you want to get yours right first. I hate it when someone abandons their color to become another color because they don't like who they are. Mm-hmm. That never works. But if you like who you are and you are genuinely committed to being your best self, then it makes a lot of sense for you to say, but this weakness of mine, I want their strength. Like I learned assertion. I was not assertive at all. You wouldn't know that, I'm sure, Nikki, by the way you see me now. Mm-hmm. But I was not assertive. And I watched and how reds are assertive, and they really changed my life. So I think it's great for us to take on gifts of other colors. Let's go back to the color combinations, though. So red, yellow, they're great at playful. They're very playful. They'll go and do things last minute. They don't have a lot of baggage. And the blue, white, I call them my retirement couple. They're very great. Just they just manage each other well. They don't have a lot of sparks or drama. The blue wishes the white would talk more. The white wishes the blue would talk less. So it's that kind of thing. But they're not. They're a very compatible relationship. It's interesting. Yellow white is not as common in marriage, but because someone has to lead out. But when they are married, they're fine. They don't fight much. They don't really get on each other's nerves.
Whites do well with all the colors?
Yes, they do. Yeah, whites are the most agreeable of all the colors by far.
It's kind of like the universal donor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, typo.
It's so funny you say it because I have a granddaughter who is blue with yellow, and she, I swear to you, she ends up with red guys every time, and every time they break her heart. And I'm like, honey, try for a blue guy. She goes, they're just too nice. I want someone who's stronger. And I say, boy, he'll break your heart. It's okay. But her white sister, I'm saying she could be with a red guy any day. She could hold her own very easily with a red guy. So it's interesting to watch that dynamic. But I think that if you look at it typically in a relationship, there has to be some chemistry, right? So you kind of are drawn to them for different reasons. Typically we marry what we're not because we want what we don't have. And then we want to change them into being like us the rest of our marriage. But the best idea is to value what we're not. And that's why we married them. Of the same colors, red is not typically a comfortable blend. It's great in business, not great in marriage. Blue is common, more common of all the same colors. Blue is it because they are very good at intimacy. It's so funny. My blue wife says to me, if you ever die before I do, I'm going to marry a blue just so I'm completely understood one day. And I said, great, you miss me even more because they're so serious. They're always so serious together. And they're always like critical of themselves and what they should be doing more of. White, that will never happen. Who's going to get the marriage license? It just doesn't happen. And yellows are great for lunch typically, but you guys are living proof that it exists for 20 years.
It ain't easy.
I really am impressed. I think that's a harder road to hoe than had you married a different color. I do. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. But just so you know, every color can marry any color and do it very well if they have character. Every one of them can.
Interesting. Do you find that men typically want to be red? Because I've had several clients who are like, no, I don't want to be blue. I don't like that. I'm red.
Yes. You know what's sad about that, Nikki? In our culture, we have it defined as red men, blue women.
Like, yes.
It's crazy how we have that mindset. And yet women that are red, they feel just as strongly about who they are as a red man does. Like they feel very strongly about their intellect and their right assertion and that kind of stuff. And blue men, oh my gosh, they are so caring. Like they genuinely are as nurturing and giving and thoughtful as any blue woman. And they're remarkable that way. But our society says, no, if you're a man, you need to be red, which is ridiculous. And they're also saying, if you're a woman, we don't want you to be red. That's just insane.
Yes. Women, it seems like, you know, if I were to should on them, we should be blue and white. And so I sometimes feel shame over the fact that I'm so yellow. I'm like, oh, that's so inappropriate or so unrefined. Yeah. the way that I'm mothering or parenting or whatever.
Yes, that's such a great point. But I do think it's hard. You're right. We do have a mindset as a culture, which is sad.
Yeah, terribly. So because, you know, as you're talking about this, it reminds me about, you know, this idea of a red man and a red woman. And so often, Taylor, the pattern I see is the red woman is quite lonely in some aspects, because if we did not reveal that she was a woman or any detectable feature like that, like her name, you know, and if men are thinking about these qualities, they go, oh, that's a very strong and assertive, action-oriented person. I want that person on my team.
Yes.
Well, all of a sudden, when they realize that she's a she, then all of a sudden, these guys start to look at her with all the red negative potential limitation qualities. And they just do this flip that she has these really great leadership qualities, but they now peg her as bossy or pushy or, you know, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's a culture-bound bias that we got to do something about.
That's a great point, Mark. It disturbs me tremendously that anyone, because of their gender, should be then seen as less than because of a certain color. It's just insane to me. But you're right. As a culture, we do that. Very much so.
You know, it's funny because my whole life I've always had male doctors. And there was something in me that thought that a male doctor was smarter, more capable. Yeah. Over the last several years, I now have, gosh, most of my doctors are female. And at first I felt almost surprised, which I'm ashamed to say, because now I'm like, oh, actually, I think these women are smart, successful, and empathetic, and all the things that I've ever wanted in a doctor.
Yeah, that's really true. We need a bias that keeps us from experiencing the abundance of what we could have before us. Really, it's a great insight. I agree with that.
How do our limitations or our beliefs about our color or identity keep us stuck?
Well, let's look at it this way. So when you first start out, right, you want those that you value the most to want to value you, right? So depending on how your parents see you, and what, I mean, like, you can do gender, for example, and there's a father who only wants boys, not girls, that immediately taints her as a girl in her mind. I obviously was less than because I was a girl. Mm-hmm. Do the same thing with color. So I was raised by a red mother and a blue father. My poor blue father, oh my gosh, every time he would spank me, I would laugh at him. So it was a horrendous thing because he wanted respect. And my mother adored me. She thought I was like sliced bread. So she colored me as a positive in my yellow. She loved my social skills, my connection to people. My dad did not value at all my irresponsibility, that kind of stuff. So how you are seen or valued early on does play into your sense of value. It does. How much you like.
You said kids are born a certain way, because I literally just said to my husband this morning, I said, I'm feeling a little bit of shame, or yeah, I guess it's shame is the right word, over so my baby girl, Lucy Joy, she is like, I just think of her and I think the word spark. She is as yellow can be. I mean, she hiked 5 miles yesterday in a skirt and cowboy boots. She just strutted the whole way up the mountain. When she was a brand new baby, she was so calm. She's still pretty calm, but she's got a really feisty side. Yeah. But she would just look out the window and be totally unaffected by her blue-red brother in the car seat next to her screaming his head off. Part of me thinks, did I make her yellow because I'm so yellow? Did I teach her to be kind of zany and sometimes obnoxious, or is that just really her nature?
No, it's her nature. Like when I see things, because fortunately I know you well enough to know her a little bit, she is who she is because she wants to be that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've ever forced her to be you. I don't see that at all. In fact, you're nurturing all of them. I think she just is that kind of a spirited, playful, fun self. And in the womb, she had her personality. That's one of those misnomers we have about personality. Like if you don't get it till you're like older, that isn't true at all. You come with a personality. And you come with self-esteem or lack of self-esteem. You come with lots of things that your parents had nothing to do with. So don't take things on that aren't yours. On the other hand, if you consciously or subconsciously didn't like her being a certain color, then I would say, yes, you probably did impact her. I didn't see that with you. I've never seen that.
It's interesting because the way I raised my first two, you know, I have a 20-year-old, a 15-year-old, and then a 9-year gap, and a 6 and a 4-year-old. The way I raised the first two when they were little is very, very, very different than how I'm raising the last two. The first two, my blue was really heavy. The perfectionism, the shame, the self-righteousness. Now I'm more like, okay. And it's hard for me because I feel like I'm constantly at odds with myself around letting her express herself. And I mean, she looks like Medusa half the time, like just a hag. Her hair is everywhere and she's in her cowboy boots and a nightgown and she's thrilled with herself.
Yep.
I have to constantly fight that blue side that says she really needs to have her hair fixed and her clothes, you know, tidy and look a certain way.
But if she were blue, just so you know, and she grew up to be 18, she would say, "Mom, where were you? That was ridiculous that you let me go out like that." And Bella would say, "I am so grateful you let me be me." That's the difference. It really is the difference. And by the way, you probably did parent differently, like significantly differently. And Ben was probably different too.
Totally.
So, but don't get stuck on that. Like, we're all growing. I'm so rude. I always say, just take the first child and toss them out because it was all about you, not about them. But in all fairness, I mean, you can't be harsh on yourself. You were just trying to figure out yourself.
Right. So how does a parent or a listener figure out what's my color? What are my kids' colors? Where would you tell them to go?
Well, go to taylorhartman.com and you can take the profile there and you can get the books there and you can do any of the kind of stuff you want to do to follow up on this. I will tell you right now that it's such a joy to know somebody's core personality and then to nurture them that way. For example, if you have a yellow child, you must adore them or you cannot own them. And I've had so many parents say to me, there's nothing he does that's adorable. And I'm saying, I'm just telling you right now, you figure that out or you will not be able to own him. That's all I'm telling you. That's what makes yellows tick. No other color requires that than yellow.
It's so true.
And yet you go to a blue, it's not about adoring them. It's about being like caring and sincere. I've always said, if you want to own a blue, you have to be willing to understand them. You have to be willing to appreciate them and you have to be sincere. You can't be phony. So if you're a phony person, don't expect the blue to value you. They can't. They don't. It's not in their being. So it's very, I mean, it's those kinds of things. And if you have a red kid, you've got to speak up and challenge them. If you let them run the show, they will not respect you. Everybody's so different that way. So every color needs to be dealt with, in my mind, more effectively in terms of their motives, not your motives.
And you have such a great list of the do's and don'ts for each color in your book.
Yeah.
As a parent, it's really tricky because I have a couple kids who are really, really blue.
Yeah.
And they're also more prone to negativity and being the police and running the show. Tell us how do you deal with that? I mean, I know the answer, but it's tough to do.
It is tough to do. The first thing I'm going to tell anyone out there who's worrying, who's a blue, right? Or has a blue child who's very negative. I always say, okay, here's the deal. That the stuff you're doing and the more research we're finding on the brain, the damage that's being done with worry and negativity it's unbelievable, quite frankly. We talk about hitting a soccer ball or tackle football as being bad for the brain. Well, so is negativity. So I always say to my clients, you have an hour. I'll give you 5 to 10 minutes of that hour to worry. That's it. Once that 10 minutes is up, you give me 50 minutes of productive, engaging lifestyle. If you still need more time to worry, you can plug it in again for 5 more minutes or 10 minutes the next hour. But what I'm trying to teach them is to discipline their mind and discipline their heart. Every blue I ever work with, I always say managing your emotions is the key to your success. So if I'm dealing with a blue, I'm always working to manage their emotions. I want to hear them. I care about what you have to say, but you cannot let them own you. You have to own them. I'll get people say to me all the time, but I feel it. Therefore, that's all I can say as I feel it. Well, just because you feel it doesn't mean that it's healthy. Doesn't mean it's positive. There's lots of bad foods that you like to eat that are good for you. So I'm always working to get blues to manage their emotions. That's my bottom line with a blue. And to believe the good in them. Because so blues, they're so capable, but they don't think they're good enough. They're always like measuring themselves against others. And, you know, like comparison is the death of joy. It's, you know, what's funny about that too, Nikki and Mark, is that probably the most organized and prepared people in the world are blues. And the ones that worry the most are blues. And you're kind of like, well, how does that work, right? So be more proactive in kind of disciplining their emotions.
I love the strengths and limitations. I think you called that your character code.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. I love that because I've found that with myself and my clients, whatever our biggest struggles are often our biggest strengths. So people who worry are creative and intelligent and empathic. And people who are fun can also be responsible and are irresponsible and lazy,
right.
You know?
Right.
I think it's really fascinating. Tell us more about diagnoses. Because in my practice, I've wondered, you can be my truth finder here. It seems like people who worry, people who deal with eating disorders, maybe people who are more prone to like borderline personality disorder all seem to be more blue.
Yes, that's true. And white has borderline issues as well.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. And then it seems like people who are depressed probably also maybe more blue or white.
Definitely blue or white. Yep.
And then people who seem to have like ADHD or addiction issues seem to be more yellow.
Every yellow in the world is ADD. Every yellow.
Mm.
We just learned to manage poorly. Like when I was growing up, there was not negotiable. Your behavior was managed much more effectively. Today we just drug people.
Right.
That's so sad. And you're right about that. Yellow's definitely come with that. And addiction. I've always said, give me a red on drugs versus a yellow on drugs any day. They'll hang themselves, but a red will stop themselves at one point and say, this doesn't work for me.
And then reds, would you say more like narcissists?
I would absolutely say that. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I see that too, where you get, the blue, yellow, white. If they come in, they often are complaining about red people.
Yes, 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 Mark. My issue there is when they go victim. Like, for example, if you're with a narcissist, don't play the role of a victim. Move on. You can't fix them. But if you come from a victim perspective, you'll always lose to a red, even a red that's not a narcissist, like a good red, right? Or a bad red, but not a narcissist. You'll never win a red's respect if you let them bully you, if you let them own you. Never will happen.
Yeah, that's where the other colors, if they're coming in victimized by a red who's got the bad qualities or the limitation qualities, their best way out of this to a better happiness is to actually develop the positive qualities of the red.
That's so well said. Couldn't said it better. It's exactly right, Mark. And not to shy away from it. Like you're right. Many of them go, I don't want to be like them. So they don't embrace the great bit.
Yeah, how could I? I don't even want to get close to that.
No, you're right. Staying a victim of never. And you know what they do, which is so sad? They go to other people like them who are also victims, who congregate and complain about the red. As opposed to going to other people that are strong and saying, what could I do to become more like you? That's a good point.
You know, that's one of the things you had us do at the retreat was wear one band that showed our color. So I had yellow on one arm. And then you said, okay, go through the character code, circle all the things that describe you, and then choose one of the limitations in any color to work on. And I remember having probably five different ones on there that I was... I can't remember, worry prone and perfectionistic and all these things. And then one of them said indecisive and you came around and you said, so which one did you pick? And I said, well, I don't know. I can't decide. And you looked at me and you said, are you kidding me? And I said, oh, indecisive? Yeah. And then you had us choose that trait in the strengths and find a person as a role model and a mentor, and mine was a red. So I had a red band on one hand. How can you teach me your strengths?
That's so good. Everybody, when you want to get a strength, I always say to them, there's two people you need. One is the coach. That's the person that has been through your path and can give you ideas on how to get better.
A yellow who wants to be more red. That would be my coach.
Right. Someone who's gone through it, right? So, for example, I can't teach you how to be more playful. I just do it. Mm-hmm. But a blue who's learned to be more playful would be a much better coach than I would be. And then you want to have a role model, which is like, that's the person who does it naturally well. Like someone, how will I look when I get this down? That's the role model. The coach is the person that helps you get there. Someone that helps you grow into that. And it's a great relationship you develop with them because they're actually working with you to become a better person. It's very cool.
Hey, there's a story you tell about your wife, Jean, and I can't remember exactly what it was. She was asking you to understand something about her, and then you said, well, you wake up happy every day. Can you tell us that story? No. I love that.
Oh, no, my gosh. So I was working on being thoughtful for a year. That was my goal, was to be thoughtful, right? So my wife looked at me and said, oh, that's a hard one, like mocking me. I said, oh, you wake up happy every day for a year. See how that goes. She's like, It did not happen for her. So then I said, isn't it funny how I just take for granted everybody wakes up happy. Well, they don't, right? She takes for granted everybody's thoughtful. Well, they're not. So it's so easy to mock somebody for a strength you have they don't have. But when you reverse that and go, what about this? Like a weakness of yours, you're like, oh, I start to see this now. You're right. I have my own area to work on. But I will tell you this, the thing I've loved most about charactering yourself is when I take on like blue qualities, blues love me. They're like, they appreciate that I value them enough to take on their gifts. No one works against me. No one hates me for it. They're like, that is impressive that you're trying it. Like, it's almost like traveling in France and speaking French, trying to speak French. Mm-hmm. They're much more than if you just say, I don't speak English. So the same with the colors. If people are healthy enough to go, I'm yellow, but I really want that red gift. And I really appreciate, I'm trying to be more that way. Red people appreciate it. They really do. So you don't lose ground at all.
I love that. It's so many personality codes I struggle with, or personality, what do you call them? Profiles I struggle with. Even like the Enneagram, I took it. None of them really resonated with me because so many of them, it's like, well, it depends on the day. Right. Once I understood that there's a color code, you know, personality code and a character code, it all made sense to me.
I'm so happy to hear that. Honestly, it should make it easier, the process of gaining mental health. That's the goal.
So tell us, Taylor, when you have a primary color and a secondary color that kind of fight against each other, like I'm a yellow blue. And I remember your example in the book. I felt so understood when I read that story that a yellow will go to the beach for the day and spend the entire day feeling guilty that they're not at home doing the laundry or whatever it was. Tell us more about how to find congruency when our core color and our secondary color kind of fight against each other.
Well, you know, let's go back to play to your strengths. I mean, play to the strength. The beauty of your yellow being at the beach and enjoying that magic of your kids and the friends that are with them or whatever is so positive. And the wash that isn't getting done is so unimportant compared to that dynamic that you just need to rule that out. You need to say, you know, I really know I have chores to do, but I choose them. I choose this versus that and not apologize for it. It's so funny, like with you, it's always been fun for me because it's so obvious when you're in your strengths versus your limitations. It's like, it's so obvious. I'm like, well, why would you pick that when it's negative versus that which is positive? So I think the same for all of us. I like your secondary, you know, to me, Nikki, your secondary blue is very enhancing of you at a deeper level. I like the good stuff you have about your blue for sure. It's just the dark sides, not the good sides. So everybody's secondary typically has strengths and limitations. So you don't want to get rid of, you know, the positives of that. You just want to dismiss the negatives. Because every time, this is kind of interesting, if I'm like, my secondary is red, right? And your secondary is blue, Nikki. I don't know where yours is, Mark.
Probably a yellow.
Okay. So here's my deal. So Mark, if you go into your secondary yellow negative, or I go into my negative red, or Nikki, you go in your negative blue, every single time we do that, we prevent people from coming to us in our core. So if for me, if I go bossy or demanding, that is not inviting you to want to have fun. You want to stay away from me, not come play with me. Mm-hmm. So every time any of us, Nikki, you're in your negative blue, like the martyr or the I'm not good enough, or you in your negative yellow, Mark, irresponsible.
Yeah, what I'll end up doing is, you know, I'll say, oh, okay, I'll do that, you know, and I'll get something started, but I won't finish it.
Yes, that's perfect. That's perfect. Negative yellow. Those traits each of us have tend to move people away from meeting us where we want to be met most, which is our core. So yours is blue, Mark, and that not finishing or completing things does not move people towards being intimate with you. It moves them towards anger, right? Or resentment, or feeling bad about being dismissed or not trusting you.
Right.
My red negative does not make people want to have fun with me. Nikki, your blue negative self-loathing or whatever, the doubt, whatever, does not make people want to have fun with you. So
totally. Every
time we go into our negative secondary, we are pushing people away from the very thing we crave, which is our motive, getting that. So that's important to remember.
So true. And I will say, when I'm able to really step into my core, there was a few weeks ago, we went on a hike and we got lost and I just had a blast. I was so irresponsible and playful. And then a couple of weeks later we went and I went totally blue. Like, this is irresponsible. Our kids are at home. We could die. And
yeah, it was a totally different experience.
Yeah. It zapped the fun right out of it.
Oh my gosh. That's so good. Such a great example. Well, and think about when people live their whole life doing that, like their whole life playing to their negative something versus their positive. That's really sad. It was interesting when Mark was saying earlier about going back and reflecting on your core personality. I really like that mindset. Once you get your personality right, however, you're done. It doesn't change after that. Once you know your core correctly, what does change is your character. So really every year you can do the character profile and go, where have I grown? But be kind to yourself, because I still remember this. My wife is so blue. So, and I am yellow, that for her to be yellow, it's a big stretch compared to me, right? Mm-hmm. So one year, we went to Disneyland every year for years and years and years with our kids. One year I couldn't go because I had business I had to do. So I said, you guys go. So they went and they came back and I said, now I can go next month though, so we can go now in a month. And they said to my wife, Mom, be like you were when Dad wasn't with us.
And wow.
The most magical comment they made. I said, what are you guys talking about? And what happened is when we go together, I'm the fun meister. So she is the pack horse, right? Managing and directing, keeping everybody together. But since I wasn't there, she was the one dancing around the fountains with them or being playful with them. It was magical. What I realized is sometimes we compare ourselves and therefore we don't think we're doing as well as we probably really are. So when she marks herself in her yellow, the key is you have to be mostly that. So she'll often not mark as much yellow as I see there is. Like there truly has been a shift in her towards yellow and in me towards blue because of our marriage. But you don't give yourself enough credit because I can't be as good a blue as she is. And yet here's what's ironic. You tend to appreciate people more for the effort they made in their not core color than their natural gifts in their core color. So if I worked hard to fall, like when I wrote the book as a yellow, people were far more impressed with that dedication than they are my playful nature. Well, it's kind of a cool reminder that you actually do gain more value by embracing other gifts you're not naturally good at than the ones you come with naturally.
I love that. Love that.
It's such a great challenge in life. And by the way, I find honestly with knowing color code, it probably shapes counseling. I cut off probably 6 months, literally, because I know what I'm doing was so quickly. So that's kind of nice for people that want to get through it quicker.
I agree. I have a client that I just started working with and I had her do the I love doing it because I'll write down on a piece of paper what I think they are just because I have to make things fun because I'm yellow.
Yes.
And I'll have them take it and then I'll say, okay, here's what I guessed. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
I'm usually right 99% of the time, but she's a total blue with secondary white. And her mom sent me a text and said, I don't know how to parent this kid. She's making me crazy. She's like Eeyore. Mm-hmm. And I sent her the list of do's and don'ts. And she was like, wow, I just printed that out. This is like a game changer for me.
So cool.
Would someone find that just in the book or?
In the book, and we have code cards also. You can get code cards that are really kind of cool, but you just have, they have four cards for each color and they talk about what the strengths and weaknesses are, what makes them Hot, not caught, what makes them wonderful, how to communicate with them, and how to become a better, like, red or yellow or white or blue. So they're cool.
Those are all at taylorhartman.com?
Yep, all those are there. Yep.
Mark, do you have any more questions for Taylor before we wrap up here?
No. It's just been a wonderfully insightful and fun discussion to be with you guys today. And how, you know, I've just been reflecting back as I've been listening in about the way that we could help other people understand themselves, and by so doing, understand others and change the way that we can help people see that the qualities in others are not necessarily always bad things, but they may be bad because I'm having difficulty with it and we judge them as bad. And if we can help people to realize that it's not as scary as you think, and that if you take a more hopeful look at this, that we can all learn and change, and by so doing be really influential in intentionally making our lives with ourselves and with our loved ones so much better. I think that the message of hopefulness and excitement about this is really pronounced.
And I think, yeah, I think the profession we're in, there's such a tendency to want to diagnose somebody, to pathologize something, whereas this to me is like, no, this is, I am ADHD just because I'm yellow, and I can actually learn skills, as opposed to, like you said, Taylor, just taking a pill to make that go away. I can actually learn skills in self-regulation and organization. And I am actually really pretty organized right. When I choose to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's not Nikki, too. I think, you know, I had this discussion, must have been 7 or 8 times in the past week where, you know, parents are so focused on getting a particular result with their kid. And I had a hard time, Taylor, helping them to come to realize that, yes, the result has value and importance, but hey, mom and dad, you're missing the method or the process along the way here. And by trying to drag Junior to the finish line of some behavior, you're actually losing the relationship.
Totally.
That is so insightful and so sad, because they mean well, but they're damaging the very thing they want most, right?
Right. And then they don't even realize it, that when you get caught up in your limitation qualities,
yeah,
human nature tends to push you to do it longer, harder, and faster.
Totally.
and you're losing ground. And then they come in and say, you know, I'm working so hard and I don't know why it's getting worse.
That's a true statement.
I had a client this week call me, and I saw her daughter probably a year ago. Really good kid, very blue. Mom is super duper blue. And she called me and said, you know, my daughter is doing everything possible that she could do to hurt me. And I tried and tried to get through to her. You know, she said she left my faith. She's vaping. She's having sex. And I just keep thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't have adopted her. Like, what's the point? And maybe I ruined her, and just so blue. And the whole conversation, I was trying to express to her, your daughter just needs you to love her. You've taught her. You've done your job. She's 19.
Right.
Now you just need to love her. And she wasn't getting it. And then I brought up the color code.
Wow.
And boy, it just resonated right away, the blue in her, you know, that this is your limitation, that you're going to beat yourself up and you're going to beat your daughter up. Those are limiting behaviors. Let's look at your strength.
She was totally personalizing it, like the daughter was doing it to her. I had nothing to do with that.
Absolutely.
What was that proverb, Nikki? I see you not as you see you, but I see you as I see me. And that becomes the standard of, you know, being the good parent, or, you know, the standard of everything that she's, you know, doing to hurt me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then
I know you're trying to hurt me.
Yes. And then there was, you know, I got pregnant out of wedlock, but I didn't do those other things. I kept going to church.
Oh my gosh. And talk about pushing the daughter even further away.
Exactly.
I like what Mark just said. It's so limiting, that mindset, but we only see people as we see ourselves.
It's so scary for people, though, to consider widening that perspective. That is a hard thing. What are some things that you have seen have been helpful to help somebody who's so guarded or who's so tightly wound up that they get so stuck on, here's the way, the standard that it's got to be. And if you deviate, then intruder alert goes off. How do you help warm those folks up to start to look from a wider angle?
You know, I talk about fear versus love a lot. I'm like, you know, when fear is the driving motive behind why you're thinking or acting a certain way, it's like building a brick wall. You're going to crash into it at some point. Love is the only thing that is more of an abundant, like a highway. It opens opportunities. I tell people that I think you're looking at this from your perspective of not loving yourself. You think it defines you. So how they respond, or how, if you broaden your horizons and it doesn't work the way you think it should work, it defines you as less successful or less capable. And I try and teach them to realize that, you know, this is not your role. This is their role, to choose their agency, to make their way in life. Your role is to embrace them at whatever path they take. I mean, how to love somebody who's unlovable, in my mind, is probably the highest challenge in life. I think that's true. True charity is to love the unlovable. And most of our kids are unlovable at some point in our relationship. Mm-hmm. So as our spouses. So, and I think that starts with the core of self-love. Like, do I really accept and love me so that I can get beyond myself then and give that to someone else?
Yeah, people think it's so selfish, you know, to focus on your own self-love, but really you can't give what you don't have. So unless you cultivate that in yourself, that's what you helped me with, was self-determination, was stepping out of being the victim in my marriage and my relationships and loving myself enough to say, no, actually that doesn't work for me. So shape up or ship out, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as we work on ourselves that way, you can see this magical transformation of a parent who comes to this realization that, oh, you're not actually intentionally trying to, you know, hurt or mess up my life, but you're trying to tell me that, you know, you're scared and your behaviors that I have been taking personally are more of a protective sincerity test for me rather than an intentional effort to hurt me.
It's so sad when somebody makes it about them and it never was about them in the first place.
Yeah, Mark will say that it's at me, but it's not about me. And I love that. So true.
So true. But, you know, the more insecure you are, the more you just assume it's about you. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good.
Absolutely. Well, Taylor, this has just been a joy as always.
Yes. Yes. I can see what you love Mark so much and what he did for you in your life. And of course, you know, I adore you, Nikki. So it was a pleasure.
Yeah. There's another Chinese proverb that's, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I just have to say, I've had so many teachers in my life, and both of you have just had a profound impact. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you are very welcome, and thank you.
Taylor, how would people get a hold of you and your work?
Yes, they can email taylor@taylorhartman.com, or they can go to my website, which is taylorhartman.com.
Thank you so much.
Great fun.
And that's it for another Backseat Driver. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it with a friend.
We'd really appreciate it if you'd take a minute to rate and review our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.